Hey, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. It is Monday, and we're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday, which means my dad will call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. We have a Blackhawks Express to play from yesterday's game. And more. Our phone number and text is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we're going to talk about the best movie monsters of all time. Kong, baby! Kong Skull Island opened this past weekend, did $61 million over the weekend, and was tremendously entertaining, and I thought it was great. And by the way, make sure you stay through the credits. Make sure at the end. Make sure you stay through all the credits at the end because there's a huge payoff with a final added scene at the end of the movie. It made me just like I audibly gasped at the end and just giggled like a 2-year-old. So make sure you stay for it. So we're going to talk about best movie monsters and. This was inspired by a story actually about the making of the original King Kong. Dan, you like monster movies?
You know, I don't seek them out that often. I think it's one of those situations where, similar to what Eric was describing with Get Out, you know, it's just the ones that kind of transcend the genre that almost everybody, you know, is talking about is kind of when I get into them.
Yeah.
You know? So King Kong, Godzilla, probably the only ones I've seen in the last couple of years, just because they were such movie events.
Yeah. Well, I love monsters. If I could see, if every movie had a monster in it, I'd be happy.
Right.
So, Esmeralda, do you like monster movies?
I'm kind of on the same, argument that Dan was giving. I don't really seek them out, but yeah, sometimes if there's one that like, oh, that looks good, but usually I'm not big into it.
Yeah, the list that I have is from Collider.com, and they have the 20 best. And I got to say that this is an interesting list. It really is. They went down a different route, and I got to tell you, I love what they chose for number one. That makes me very happy. I'll get to that in a little bit, but that makes me very, very happy to see what they put in for number one. But you know, in the new Kong movie, in Kong Skull Island, there are a lot of monsters in it. On Skull Island is loaded with all kinds of weird monsters. The king, of course, is Kong. But there's like giant octopi in it. There's like massively huge ants that spear people through the head with their legs. It's fantastic. And as Colin mentioned, there's like a tree creature. It looks like a tree trunk. But it comes to life and it sprouts legs and it sticks its weird head out. So there are creatures everywhere, and then the big like lizard like creatures that live under the ground. Those are the main bad guys in it. Those are the ones that Kong has to protect the denizens of the island from. And those are the ones that John Goodman and his team disturbed to the point where they actually come up from underground and become a menace, and so it's up to King Kong to save them. I love the movie. I thought it was great, and King Kong is, you know, I mean, he's one of the greatest inventions of all time in movie history, and one of the greatest movie monsters of all time. And the going back to the original King Kong, which is just such an extraordinary movie. On this list, King Kong comes in at number 5. And you don't earn the title of King of the Jungle for nothing. Across more than 8 decades and countless film iterations, King Kong remains one of the most bewitching and tragic of the movie monster set. And while Peter Jackson's 2005 film has its strengths, the definitive King Kong is still the 1933 film, despite its unsavory racial overtones. The effects are crafty and admirable even years on, making the original Kong a massive achievement no matter how old the movie magic is. And it's true. I mean, the original King Kong from 1933 is absolutely the best. But I love the Peter Jackson version. I loved it. I thought Peter Jackson did a fantastic job with it. And it didn't seem long to me. It was 3 hours long, I know. But a lot of people, you know, are like, man, that was a long movie. I'm like, I don't know. It's fine with me.
I think it really slowed down once they hit New York. I mean, that scene between him and the two Tyrannosaurus Rex is one of the most thrilling pieces of cinema I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, just by the end of that, when obviously Kong, you know, Kong wins, but the way he ends the fight and the scream he lets out,
yeah.
I mean, that just, like, that was one of those, like, I finally breathed and realized I wasn't breathing for
right.
the entire sequence. You know?
Right, yeah. No, it's great. And they do a really nice little throwback to the 1933 original. Because when he fights the T-Rex in the 1933 original, when he has the big dinosaur T-Rex battle, he grabs the T-Rex by the jaws and stretches his mouth open and cracks his jaw, and that's how he kills him. He breaks his mouth open and stretches his jaws apart until they crack. And then after he does it, you know, there's just the bottom jaw is just kind of hung limp, broken, and just kind of hanging there. And King Kong starts to, like, move it back and forth and slap it to make it look like it's opening and closing. And then he drops the T-Rex's head. And in the 2005 version, when after that epic battle in the movie, Peter Jackson has Kong do the same thing. He rips the jaws apart and then slaps it and plays with the jaw like it was just a wonderful tribute to the, you know, I'm sitting in the theater. I remember the first time I saw Peter Jackson's King Kong, I was like, oh, please do the jaw bit. Oh, you have to do the jaw bit. And he did, and I was just like quietly cheering. I was like, yes. So a nice little salute. But the 33 version is just amazing. Esmeralda, did you ever see the 1933, the original King Kong?
I haven't, no.
No, it's so good. And it still holds up today, you know. It's great. I screened it a couple of years ago at my film club, and the place was packed, and we were all just like sitting in a movie theater, you know, watching this movie from 1933, and it was still thrilling everybody, you know, in the theater. So great. This list though is kind of interesting. Like the number 20 on the list is The Aliens from Attack the Block. Now I love this movie. Have you guys seen Attack the Block? Esmeralda, have you seen it?
I saw it, like, right when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it since, actually.
It holds up. Yeah, it's fun. British movie about a bunch of punks who have to fight some aliens. Dan, have you seen Attack the Block?
You don't know. It was one of those movies that, like, every once in a while, when I'm looking for things to look for on Netflix, I'll search if it's on there, and it hasn't been yet.
But yeah.
It's one that I know that it came out right around Super 8 time.
Yep.
And a lot of people are
2011
like,
around that time, yeah.
Like that's the movie Super 8 should have been, you know.
Agreed.
You know, that's what the thing I kept hearing about it.
Yeah, agreed. And the dude, John Boyega's in it from the Star Wars. He's now, you know, Fenn in the Star Wars movies. So it says, when the anti-heroes of Attack the Block are asked to describe the nameless aliens that beset their apartment complex, the description we get is gorilla wolf blankers. Covered in spiky, pitch black fur and sporting glow-up fangs that make up for any lack of visible eyes, it's very hard-pressed to find a more brilliantly composed low-budget monster than the aliens in Attack the Block. So, all right, we got more here. We want to hear from you. You a monster movie fan? Who are the best monster movies, the best movie monsters of all time? 312-981-7200. We'll reminisce a little bit about some of these classic monsters. And this list, by the way, very cool. They've got some really unusual entries in it, too. So 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Hey. Hello. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. We're talking about the best movie monsters of all time in honor of Kong, Skull Island, which is a tremendously entertaining movie that you should see, and King Kong being one of the greatest movie monsters in the history of cinema. We thought we would reminisce a little bit about some of our favorite movie monsters of all time, and you can call or talk to us or text us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, let's see. Next on this list is Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors, which is an interesting choice, and I think I'm going to sneeze. I think. I can feel it. Hold on. All right. I hate it when that happens. It's like right there. All right. Well, that passed. Anyway, Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors, which is the man-eating monster plant that sings from Little Shop of Horrors. If you guys ever get a chance to see the original ending of Little Shop of Horrors. I'm not talking about the original movie, that Roger Corman movie, but the one that Frank Oz directed in the 80s, the musical, based on the stage play with Rick Moranis and Ellen Green. The ending is completely different. They had a whole ending where Audrey 2, the plant, the man-eating plant, actually grows to about King Kong size. And is like, destroys a city. And that was like the original ending of the movie, was the plant growing to an enormous size. And that footage is, it's out there. I've seen it. And it's really amazing. And you know, I like the movie now. I still like it. I still like Little Shop of Horrors quite a bit, actually. And I like the ending that's on there now. But if you get a chance to see this footage, I think it might be on like the Blu-ray or something like that. But yeah, pretty cool stuff. Now they picked The Blob from The Blob, which I think is an interesting choice. But they actually are going with the 1988 remake of The Blob. And I agree with that, because the Blob in the 1988 remake is a lot grosser and a lot scarier. Like, ripping people's faces off and stuff, and there's like an, it has like an acidic quality to it that burns people's flesh off. It's awesome. It's fantastic. The original Blob, very, very silly movie. And you guys know, Steve McQueen's first movie. The Blob was Steve McQueen's first movie. Now, you're going to have to, Dan, you're going to have to explain to me what this one is. The Rancor in Return of the Jedi? What's that?
It's the thing that Jabba the Hutt feeds people to.
Like a hole in the ground?
Right.
Oh, all right. It says, many kids' nightmares focused on Jabba the Hutt's Rancor, warty, hungry, nasty thing that happily awaited snacks in the form of anyone who displeased Jabba. The Rancor also sports some stellar creature design. Not quite reptilian, not quite mammalian, but most importantly, totally Star Wars. I just remember it being like I just thought it was like a big hole in the ground with a bunch of spikes on them.
Well, so like, there was that one, but he's got like, he's very tall, his arms are claws. You'd recognize him if you did a Google image search on
Okay.
But yeah, you know,
does he come up out of that thing?
He comes out of that thing.
Oh, all right.
So, and you know, it's one of those like, because it's that kind of just bad enough claymation where it's kind of creepy looking.
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, that was 1983, man. You know, and
no, I mean, I think that adds to the terrifying mm-hmm. nature of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, 765 area code says Gamera. That's yes. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin says the shark from Jaws. Jay says there are a lot of great creatures in Jason and the Argonauts. All of the creatures that Ray Harryhausen. Now that's that stop. Now are you familiar with Ray Harryhausen, Dan?
Yes.
Incredible stop motion artist. Who is responsible for all the really cool stuff in the early Sinbad movies from the 70s and Jason and the Argonauts. He worked all the way up until he was like 90-something. And you know that I can't remember what, I think it's a restaurant in Monsters, Inc. that's called Harryhausen's.
Oh, that's cool.
But I know that there is a reference to Ray Harryhausen in Monsters, Inc., which I think is pretty cool. Boy, that sequel was bad, though. The Monster, what the hell, Monster University? Prequel. I loved Monsters, Inc. And then that, no. 708 area code says, the best movie monster is the creature from The Creature of the Black Lagoon and the original Wolfman with Lon Chaney Jr. The Creature from the Black Lagoon is definitely one of the greatest. Comes in at number 10 on this list that I have here. And what do they say about the creature? Where werewolves, zombies, and other monsters are terrifying because of their tenuous ties to humanity, the creature from the Black Lagoon is terrifying because of his lack of one, a seemingly prehistoric, inhuman creature that embodies every innate fear about dark, deep water, sporting some of the most inspired creature design, thanks to Millicent Patrick. It's hard not to wonder how a remake hasn't made its way to screens yet. No matter, the classic is almost as engaging as it was the day of its release. Creature from the Black Lagoon, legendary. And Esmeralda, you've seen the video where it's just a compilation of the creature.
Oh, yeah, and he's angry.
He's breaking stuff, and it's just like, F this guy and F that. I've watched that thing like 8,000 times, and I laugh out loud every single time I watch it. It's just him.
It's just the look on his face. Yeah. I'm looking at pictures of it.
It's just him knocking stuff over and killing and smacking people. It's so funny. Yeah, that's one of my favorite sort of internet videos. Here's Chris on WGN. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right.
My favorite's Gamera.
Yeah.
You got to love a turtle that when he puts his head inside, all four holes fill up with fire and you spin.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, Gamera's awesome. It's just a giant, it's a giant turtle that spins and he flies.
You remember when he was on the like a barbell spinning around?
Yeah. He's like spinning over and over and over. Oh, yeah, man. Those are the, you know, hey, listen, man, you know, the Godzilla movies are the best. Those are the best. Have you seen Skull Island yet, Chris?
No, not yet.
You got to see it, man.
Probably this weekend.
Make sure you stay through all the credits at the end.
Okay.
Great.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
There was a monster, and I don't remember if it was with Godzilla or Gamera, that it looked like a pocket knife. And on the sides of his head, the skin would, like, deteriorate. And they would be like Chinese stars that would fly off of him.
Yeah. You know what? I'm trying to remember what that was. You know, because a lot of those insane, you know, Japanese monster films are just, I mean, they're so crazy and they have so many different characters that I get them all mixed up. Sometimes I get them mixed up with stuff like Inframan and Ultraman and and some of the crazy goofy looking monsters that came out of those movies. But I know what you're talking about visually. I can see it in my head. Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the craziest things I ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff. All right, Chris. Thanks, man.
All right. Have a great day.
Oh yeah. You too. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Clover from Cloverfield is number 16 on the list. Esmeralda, did you see Cloverfield?
I did. It made me nauseous.
Made me nauseous too. And I gotta say, no other movie has ever done that for me. Like I saw Blair Witch a million times and I never got sick. Cloverfield made me sick. Cloverfield, granted, Heather and I got there a little bit late and we had to sit pretty close to the screen.
Me too.
And, yeah, and you know, we had to sit like four rows back from the screen. And I think that has everything to do with it.
Yeah. No, it made me nauseous, but that monster was frightening.
Monster was cool. It's a cool movie. It just made me sick. All right, we got to take a break. And we got the news coming up next. We're talking great movie monsters. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Monday morning. Welcome back to work, everybody. And to kick off your work week with a laugh, my dad, Nick, always calls in on Monday morning to tell a joke, and he will do that because it's a jokey time. That's coming up in a little bit. We'll play the Blackhawks Express from yesterday's win over Minnesota. That'll be coming up as well. Our phone number and text number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. In honor of Kong, Skull Island, which rules, by the way. We're talking about the best movie monsters of all time. Who are some of your favorites? The best movie monsters of all time. 312-981-7200. Right here on 720 WGN. And Esmeralda and I were talking before the break about how we both got sick when we were watching Cloverfield. And
to the point, it kind of turned me off.
Oh, I had to look away several times. There were several times when I just had to look. I was looking at the floor. I was like looking down at the floor for like a couple of minutes at a time. Then I'd look back up. The thing was, I really liked the movie though, and I wanted to watch it, but it really was making me nauseous. And I always thought, you know, people who complained about Blair Witch, I'm like, I'll just shut up, you know. And then I saw Cloverfield, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I know how you felt. But Blair Witch didn't do that to me at all. And you know,
I didn't have that problem. I didn't see Blair Witch though
in the theater.
So it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Blair Witch in the theater a bunch of times but Cloverfield. And again, we both made the mistake of sitting pretty close.
Yeah.
Because we were late. We were running late.
Yeah,
and
ditto.
I was like, oh man. And it was a big theater. I saw it at the River East.
Yeah. I saw it somewhere downtown I think, too.
Man, so we're talking about monsters. By the way, I don't know if you guys see the Cloverfield. We were just talking about Cloverfield. Did you see the weird pseudo sequel thing with John Goodman, the 10 Cloverfield Lane?
No, but I heard it was good.
It's great. It's really, really great. And it's a real stretch that it's a sequel because it's essentially a thriller about three people who are trapped in a
right.
You know, in a bunker.
That's what I've heard, and I'm kind of I'm more into seeing that because it's just they're just in that world,
yeah.
But it's not about the monster.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's exactly what it is, at least for the first 90 minutes.
Right.
And Goodman is so good in it. Mm-hmm. He's so good in it. He's also in Kong. By the way, he got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this week. Did you see that?
Oh, good for him.
Did you see Jeff Bridges show up?
No.
Jeff Bridges showed up.
Did he show up in a robe?
Wait a minute. No, he showed up. Hold on a second. He showed up. And he's standing on, he gets on, he's going to make a little speech because they're obviously really good friends.
Yeah.
But he brought the satchel that was in the Big Lebowski that was supposed to be it was actually Walter's dirty underwear, remember? And that was going to be the switch off they make. They were going to give the nihilists the money.
Mm-hmm.
He brought that satchel, same satchel. He gave it to Goodman. Goodman was laughing his head off. He opens up the satchel and he pulls out the dude's sweater, the sweater that the dude wears throughout the movie, not the robe, but the sweater.
Oh.
And then he broke into the dude and started talking and kept referring to him as Walter and not John Goodman. It's fantastic. It's out. It's online. You can find it. It's just Jeff Bridges at the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he does the dude. And it was just because he is the dude. I mean, that's like Jeff Bridges.
No, yeah, you don't see him as anything else.
Yeah,
now.
He's the best though. All right. Here are some other monsters. Otachi from Pacific Rim. There's a lot of cool monsters in Pacific Rim.
Oh, I didn't see them.
Oh, it's good. It's good, man. It's just big monsters destroying stuff and beating the hell out of each other. How does it not rule? They said that it was a close battle between Otachi and Leatherback. But when you're talking about pure iconic imagery, Leatherback takes the monster movie cake. Slightly sharper than the other killers and boasting a memorable fight scene with Gypsy, Leatherback is the kaiju with clear ties to other iconic monsters. All right. The Behemoth from The Mist. Yeah. Did you ever see The Mist? With Todd from Boogie Nights and a bunch of people are trapped in a grocery store. There's giant monsters outside.
Yeah.
So good.
I did. You can't see it, though. You don't see, like maybe an arm.
There's
right?
Yeah. You don't really see it. It's way up in the clouds. It's way up in the mist. Mm-hmm. But like the size of the legs that are like moving, it's, you know, towards the end of the movie when you see the kind of destruction that it's that it's done. And do you remember the ending of The Mist?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what?
I Dan, you've seen The Mist, right?
I have not, actually.
Oh, my God. The ending of this movie, I remember I saw it in the screening room on Lake Street with all the critics, and we're in there. And when it was over and the lights started to come up, I'm not kidding. There was, like, stunned silence. We were all just, like, looking at each other. Did that really end that way? I couldn't believe it. And you know Stephen King prefers the ending of the movie because his story doesn't end like that.
Oh.
Frank Darabont, who's done some pretty good work with Stephen King. Dan, you could testify to that.
Indeed, he has.
He changed the ending and made it that bleak. And Stephen King, when he saw the movie, he was like, oh, my God. He was as shocked as anybody because his book didn't end that way.
I kind of like those better.
The what?
When it's bleak.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because it's always so like, oh, and there it is, wrapped up in a little package.
Yeah. And that is, seriously, the Mist, the ending of that movie is just like, it's like, I can't, oh, my God. It's like the most tragic, bleakest ending ever. Just amazing. It's a great movie, too, and it made no money at the box office. Oh, and George Miller, who re-released Mad Max Fury Road in the black and chrome edition in black and white, Frank Darabont wanted that movie to be in black and white. He wanted The Mist to be in black and white because he wanted to have an old school, old monster movie feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio was like, no. And they wouldn't let him shoot it in black and white. Which, of course, would have added to the box office bomb that it was. Because, you know, if it's a black and white movie, it's another thing that a lot of younger people don't want to see black and white movies.
Right.
And so, you know, so, but there is a version that Darabont released. And if to
it's
watch
black
it,
black and white.
Yeah, and it's really cool. It has a whole different feel to it. Just like Fury Road in black and chrome is pretty amazing. So, I prefer The Mist in black and white, but I prefer Fury Road in color.
Okay.
Just, you know.
You never want to change it up?
No. I mean, I loved going to see it on the big screen in black and chrome. That was cool. It was very, very cool. But I'm just, you know, I just love everything about the color version.
Mm-hmm.
Jane O'Howe says, my favorite movie monster is the Chucky doll from Child's Play. How many of those movies are there now? There's like six of them, right?
Five?
There's like Chucky. Wait. There's Child's Play 2.
There's three, right?
There's three.
With
and then there's
him.
Bride of Chucky.
Yeah.
Seed of Chucky.
Okay. I think that's it.
Chucky Goes to Denver. I don't know.
He loves mountains. He's a real outdoorsy man.
Yeah.
That doll.
Let's see. Jeff in San Diego says, for new monster movies, I say Pacific Rim. Yes, we're just talking about the old ones. I like the Queen Alien in Aliens, one of the greatest creatures ever designed. The Alien in Aliens. H.R. Giger designed it. One of the most unique and weird and creepy-looking creatures that's ever been in a movie. Those jaws that come out with the slime and all that's fantastic.
Drooly.
It's like, yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. I remember in the 815 area code says, I remember in the early 60s watching a movie about a Cyclops. I could not sleep that night. It was so scary. I was about 8 years old. If I'm not mistaken, the Cyclops that you're talking about is another Ray Harryhausen creation. Iconic looking Cyclops with the one big horn in his head and the one eye. And it was stop motion stuff that Ray Harryhausen used to do in one of the Sinbad movies. So, let's see. How about Mothra? Mothra rules. It was Godzilla versus Mothra was on 3 weeks ago on Svengoolie.
What does Mothra do?
It's a moth.
Right, but what, like...
He's got moths
aren't very dangerous.
He can shoot web. He can shoot a web and ties Godzilla up in a web, and he's got like he can shoot flames out of his eyes. But the thing that gets you is he's got the superpower web, and he just goes and the web goes out and wraps Godzilla up, and Godzilla falls, and he's all tied up in
Godzilla
the web.
Godzilla doesn't just get a light bulb and
a light bulb
because they're moths.
Oh yeah.
It's a giant light bulb.
It's a giant light bulb. Yeah, that was the joke. That was the joke that Rich made, Coase, when he was on with us discussing it. He's like, sometimes it's hard to sell a movie where all you got to do is maybe turn a big light on,
right.
and then the moth will be attracted to that. But 815 area code says the knife head monster was from Gamera. Okay, it was in Gamera. 727 area code says, how about Mysterious Island? I think Ray Harryhausen did the special effects for that. Yes, he did. And we'll get to the top movie monsters here in a couple of minutes if you want to jump in. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, Esmeralda, you know who's on the line, V.
Oh.
hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you guys?
All right.
He himself is a monster, so.
Yeah, so we were talking movie monsters, man. What did you want to jump in here with?
You know, I have a soft spot. There's a movie that's oft overlooked when it comes to the monster genre, or even whenever the list is like Chicago kind of specific or based movies come up. That's The Relic from 1997.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I haven't seen that movie since it came out. But there's a big monster at the Field Museum.
Yeah.
Sucking people.
Around the catacombs of the Field Museum.
And sucking on people's brain stems or something, if I remember correctly.
Yes, and you know what the antidote to that monster is? Tom Sizemore. That's the antidote to
there
that.
There you monster. Go, Tom Sizemore. If you got Sizemore in your monster movie, God, I haven't seen The Relic, man. I haven't seen that movie since it came out. Been a long time.
Yeah, and actually, it's been my personal favorite. I don't know if you can count it as him as a monster, but kind of actually a second degree. It's Martin Landau playing Bela Lugosi playing Nosferatu in Ed Wood is actually my personal sentimental favorite.
Well, my favorite moment in that movie is pull the strings. Yeah. That's the best. All right, hey man, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks, guys.
Okay, see you later. That was V.
It was what?
Yeah, that was your boyfriend. He likes The Relic. All right, let's find out what's happening on. The opening bell with Steve Grzanich here. Steve, hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. By the way, when you guys leave this morning, be very, very careful. It's very, very slippery, especially in our own parking lot. So if you are up there, be careful. I already busted my butt already.
All right.
But coming up, are you team milk, real milk, milk, or are you team almond milk? We will talk about it next with the CEO of Oberweis Dairy in our CEO spotlight today. We'll talk about the milk industry and dairy industry all coming up next.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. Now, you know, I support the milk industry quite a lot.
Yeah, no, you're a huge supporter.
That's right. All right.
You can't milk an almond.
That's
right?
No, you
Isn't
can't.
That's what Orion says.
That's what Orion says. Okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. We'll take a quick break here. The news is coming up in just a few seconds.